ready.
Bro ready. Hot take. It's the 18th of May 2022. Urgent room, or what they call, how they call it in America, where they want to go and kill Barack Osama bin Laden. What's the name of that thing? Lali. They call it something. I forgot it. Situation room.
Situation room.
Right now we are in the situation room. I call it basketball orgasm. It's one of the best that I've seen. Defensive maestro. Even Kyle Lowry was not around, right? And the bosses were missing Smart as well. Looks like it's going to be okay. Let's see what's going to happen. And we saw tactical inputs. I don't know. Jason Tatum looks like a kid in the second half last night. Kachi, I'm going to start with you on this one. Honestly. Introductions needed.
No introductions. Welcome to the Eastern Conference Finals, ladies and gentlemen. The two top-seeded teams facing off for a chance to play the winner of the Western Conference. I thought it was a tale of two halves. The Boston Celtics, playing without Marcus Smart and Al Horford, came out guns blazing. You could tell that the Miami Heat had not played competitive basketball for some time because they closed out their series against the 76ers pretty early. But in the second half, big credit to Udonis Haslem, the OG, who I think they will retire as Jesse one day, and Eric Spoelstra for reminding the guys why they were the vaunted Miami Heat defense. They came out in the third quarter, played with personality, went on a 22-2 run, and the Celtics never caught up. Magic. Amazing game. I really can't wait for game two. I said it before that whoever wins this series will most likely be the NBA champion this year.
Olale, just echo Kachi's sentiment as well. Whoever wins is good, probably.
Well, it's still very early to say. I don't think I can bet against the Golden State Warriors because they are the most experienced team still remaining. Of course, they are not as hot as they were some couple of years ago. But focusing on yesterday's game, I think it was a game of two halves. The Boston Celtics were dominant in the first half. Jason Tatum was able to do his things. And in the second half, which was at the beginning of the third quarter, the Miami Heat were a different team. They closed down the Celtics. They didn't give them space. PJ Tucker at his best. He was getting at it with Jason Tatum, frustrating. Jaylen Brown. Luke actually made a bit of mistake. I expected him to call that early timeout. He allowed the Miami to go on that 22-2 run. That made the difference. They recovered the 10-point deficit, now established another 10-point lead. And even when he called the timeout, they couldn't get answers to what the Miami Heat were doing. Miami could get production. I think the concern going to this this series has always been the availability of Kyle Lowry. At the same time, the struggling of Tyler Hero. I think he came big yesterday, not to 18 points. Yeah. That was a big production from him. So I think the Celtics will probably have to make their own adjustment. I think they missed the presence of Marcus Smart yesterday because there was a bit of playmaking, not really missing in their game yesterday. Jason Tatum was doing a bit more, trying to do the facilitator and the scoring at the same time. I think it was a bit too much for them. And you have to give it to Miami. They defended very well at the paint. Even when you felt the Boston Celtics will not face the same resistance at the paint like what they faced against the Miami Heat, remind everybody that they are a very good defensive team. Mm-hmm. I think this series at least will go to game six. Whether it's going to go to game seven, we depend on if the Celtics are going to get, they have to win game two, as far as I'm concerned, to have an extended series.
And David, and Wale, that's what I wanted to say, that the potential for this to go to game six is heavily dependent on the Celtics stealing a game in Miami. Because I believe that it is much more likely for the Heat to steal a game in Boston than for the Celtics to steal a game in...
But for fat, Kachi, Miami have not lost at home all season.
that is an interesting fact. But this is playoff basketball. The in-game adjustments, they are usually very top-notch. We saw that evidence in the third quarter, what Spoh was able to do. Yeah. I expect Udoka to also do that. I guess for them, the biggest challenge is they are losing Al Horford for 5 more days based on health protocol. So it's definitely not for game 2. We don't know how available he will be for game 3 back in Boston. Marcus Smart's case is still a bit wishy-washy. It's a game-time decision for game 2. If they lose those two players for game 2 and only have one of them back in game 3, it's more likely for the Heat to split the games in Boston than it is for Miami to drop one right now. They are on
the team. Another thing is this. I think for the Celtics, if there's something they've probably proven to us in the previous run against the Bucks, when they have their back against the wall, when they face a lot of adversity, they've been able to respond. I think they have the mental,
mental strength
to respond. And I think Jimmy Butler, for 41 points, was a typical playoff Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. Can he continue to have this kind of production? I think Ime Udoka will find a way to slow him down, especially when Marcus Smart returns. Most likely, I don't know whether it's going to be available for game 2.
Yeah, but a good point you mentioned on Jimmy Butler repeating this 40-point heroics. A bit of stats. This is the fifth 40-point that he's had against the Boston Celtics, playing them in the playoffs. So it's more likely that he repeats it.
Exactly, 100%.
Miami Heat has is they have a plethora of scorers. We saw the sixth man of the year, Tyler Hero, come out. Become the Tyler Hero we've all known, contributing 18 points. We saw game 1, Bam Adebayo making blocks that would hang the basketball on the rim. Like
even Oladipo.
Oladipo is rejuvenating and resurrecting his career. And the thing is, he's a pure scorer as well, such that if they take shots away from Jimmy Butler,
Victor he can feel him. Yeah.
Honestly,
this is my own question, and I will re-echo what Olale has said over the course of the series, like the playoff series, is the fact that even if they have Marcus Smart back, they have everybody healthy, Adford is back, everybody's back and healthy, can they against this defensive assault looking Miami Heat, can they get it across the line, trying to shoot the threes? Is that strategy going to work? Or they need for me, if they keep up with that energy, there's no way they will win this series. That's for me. But I want to hear your opinion. I'll go with you, Lali.
Now, I think unlike the Milwaukee Bucks series, I don't think the Miami Heat has the size that you have in the Milwaukee team. So the reason why I think they had to live and die by shooting the three against the Milwaukee Bucks is because it is very hard for them to get any joy in the paint. So, but I think it's a different ball game against the Miami Heat. The tallest guy in the Miami Heat team, I think, is Bam Adebayo, who I don't think is even up to 6'8". I think they will have a variety of scoring the points against the Miami Heat, unlike the Milwaukee Bucks game.
That was the same strategy they used against the Bucks is the same strategy they used yesterday. That's my concern for them.
Honestly. No, I think they are going to. I think we are going to see them definitely making adjustments in game 2.
Okay.
Yes.
Hopefully. Catch you.
I thought they got some joy in the paint. Williams was dominating in the first half, snatching up the ball or every offensive rebound he could get, simply because the Heat don't have that height apart from Bam Adebayo, who I believe maximizes every single inch he gets from that is his height. He protects the paint well, but obviously you can't compare a Giannis, Brook Lopez, and the height to what the
From Adebayo brings to the table.
However, they would have to play one game trying out the three. It's inevitable. You have to do a heat check to see whether
it's gonna work.
Still going on, and you are still hot. You have to try it at some point.
We might look, if you look at the game critically, this game was lost within the first 6-7 minutes of the third quarter. If you look at the other the other part of the game, the first, second, and even towards the end, at the time in the fourth quarter, they cut the lead to like
7 points.
Eight points. I think they need to go back to go and watch the film, what they did wrong between at the beginning of that third quarter to like when it was around 3 minutes to end the quarter, because I believe that was the point they lost the game. Any other
Olale
is right. First quarter, the Boston won 28-25. Second quarter, they won 34-29. Third quarter, they lost 39-14. Mm-hmm. And the fourth quarter, they won 31-25.
What the Heat did was they did a Boston. Because if it the Milwaukee Bucks series, every single game the Celtics won, they won by dominating the third quarter. They always
came up
with really good energy. They played gritty defense, and that was what the Heat did. Heat literally told themselves, you must protect home court. 4 games will be hosted here. Protect home court. Worst case scenario, all you have to do is win
all the home games,
and you will be in the finals. And they came up with that third quarter energy. I thought they were rusty in the first two quarters, because 100%. It's been almost 9 days
The funny thing is, they kept close to the Celtic.
That really was the edge.
And I feel another thing that the Celtic did not take advantage of yesterday was their field throws. I don't know what happened to Jaylen Brown yesterday. I don't know.
The Celtics shoot about 75% from the free throw collectively as a team. So it's not really their biggest point. I pretty much think it's who plays with more energy, who defends more. That's why Matt is critical
to whatever it is that they want to do going forward.
For more than 2 games, it's game over, really, in my opinion.
Okay. Let's leave this.
Don't miss the Eastern Conference final. Don't miss it. It's going to be fireworks nonstop.
But away from that now. The Dallas Mavericks versus the Golden State Warriors. You know who I'm rooting for, Lali. I don't care if you don't go with me on this one. But God, I don't know. Who do you think is going to win? I know you're political. You start analyzing now. But
I think this is a bit straightforward.
Game one. Okay.
Yeah, for game one, I think for the whole series. Let me just say, I believe the Warriors should win the series. I think the Dallas is going to give them the run for their money. Of course, Dallas will win a game at Oakland, whichever way. I don't know whether it's game one, game two, or probably game five. I'm sure Golden State will probably take 2 on the road. I see a series going to at least 6. It might not get to 7. But it all depends on, for me, for the Dallas, it all depends on how the other top guys, Spencer Dinwiddie, what's the name of the other short guy? Jason, the second guy, I've forgotten his name.
So can't really remember
right now. So it depends on how those guys can play well when Luka Doncic is on the court. It's a fact that they tend to play far, far more better when Luka is off the court. And it all depends, everything is because Luka Doncic is a more dominant player. If you check all the stats, it dominates all the major stats. It leads them in points. It leads the team in assists, even in rebound. So for me, it's what those guys can do when not when Luka is off the court, if it's when what they can do when they're on the court with Luka. As for the Golden State Warrior, basically they will need production from their three guards. Poole, Klay Thompson, they will need them to be a bit more efficient, because what we've seen this postseason or even this year is that I think this is the first year Steph Curry is shooting below 40% from a three in his career, and which means that he's probably slowing down gradually. And Klay, for some big games he had this postseason, he has not been efficient like he was before. I think the good thing that will, the good thing for the Golden State Warriors in this series is this: the Dallas Mavericks, the front court of Max Kleber, Donnie Finney-Smith, these are not guys who probably dominate the paint like that. These are not guys who want to post up on Draymond Green. So Draymond Green will probably have the chance. He can be a primary defender or even a secondary defender on Luka Doncic. I'm sure Steve Kerr will throw a lot of different looks on Luka. Majorly, we might see Andrew Wiggins be the primary defender. The young guy, Kuminga, might do it. But probably towards the end of the game, if it's a close game, you might see Draymond Green taking up the challenge. So Draymond will have a bit of more time to facilitate more and to probably defend Luka more, because I don't think the front court of the Dallas Mavericks are going to give him the kind of problem Jaren Jackson and those other big guys from the Grizzlies gave Draymond Green.
Okay. Kachi, what about you?
Yeah, my hot take is I think the Warriors win this series, but I think the Mavericks still game one tonight. But the key factor, like Olale alluded to, is the other guys, Dinwiddie, Jalen Brunson, have to come and play. Because, I mean, Luka can still give you 35 and 10. And the Mavericks will lose the game. You know, 100%.
They will even lose by 15. They can still lose by 15.
You know, so
100%. Yeah.
Others to come up. I think what that Jason Kidd has to try something. I want him to try this this series, probably in game one, and see whether it works. And it's to put Boban on Draymond Green for just 5 minutes to just wear him down. Let Draymond, Boban, and his big hands and height in the paint for just 5 minutes. It will keep the pressure away. The big thing with the Golden State Warriors is right now, Steph is struggling to create shots on his own. I think that's why his percentage has dropped a bit beyond the age thing. Congratulations to him. He recently graduated and got his degree. We say big congrats to him. Maybe that was also playing in his mind, because we know how it is in Nigeria when you need to defend your project.
Yeah.
But I'm just joking. But I think age, I also think the fact that he can create his own shots a lot more now is becoming a factor. So if they can take him away from his rhythm, then it will be up to Jordan Poole. I'm not sure if Gary Payton Jr. is available or will be playing.
I'm not sure he can make it. No, he's not available.
Yeah, so that eliminates one other option. So it has to be Poole and Klay. And Klay Thompson may not give you his best until game six. All I'm saying is the Mavs can pull a surprise today, because there's just something about you playing a game seven. You are perpetually tuned in.
Exactly. Know, yeah, that's true. Your
series in five or six games and you get a bit more rest. I still tip the Warriors, but if the Mavs still game one, let's have this discussion again. I might have a
and I think for the Warriors,
that would be crazy though.
I think for the Warriors, the earlier they can close down this series, the better.
Better for them.
I think there's something about Luka Doncic and let me say the Mavericks as a team is, I think they tend to adjust better as the series goes along. So, and Luka seems to have this LeBron kind of feel, like he has a tendency of figuring things out over the series, over time. So if the Warriors, it will be good for them. At least they can take the first two games at the in San Francisco, dent a bit of the confidence of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah,
allowing them to steal one game might probably
hurt them in the
For me
though, it should not get to game seven. If it gets to game seven, the Golden State will not win.
I mean, let's give kudos to Jason Kidd and what he's done. Every time we underrate him, he's proven everyone wrong. He dealt with the Utah Jazz. Utah climbed to it. They split their first four games. But the Phoenix Suns also got raised to a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
Arizona, and then
came back. Exactly.
Another thing they must do is they must not make mockery of Luka. That was the biggest
that Jamal did.
They must
Sorry,
not
make Devin Booker.
we saw Devin Booker and Chris Paul do that, similar to what LeBron James and Dwayne Wade did to Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah, and it will backfire. These Europeans are more attested. At age 16, 17, Luka was playing for Real Madrid and defeating AC Milan in the Euro basketball final. So he's not going to be faced. The fans in the NBA, all they do is throw words at you. The fans in European basketball, they throw flares, they heat up points and stone it. They stone you. He is used to it. So he's not going to be faced by fan issue. They should also not mock him. And like you rightly said, if they manage to, and I say this again, if they manage to split the first two games in Oakland, let's have a conversation again. Because
100%.
And it's going to be fun, but I personally think the Eastern Conference is where all the smokes are this series.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much, guys. And if Luka can do it, that's going to be awesome. Like that. Where they are right now is
that'll be greatness. It's not going to be awesome. That'll be greatness.
Exactly. Where they are right now, it's they're not supposed to be where they are right now. It's
because see, no matter how you want to look at the Dallas Mavericks team, they are a very good defensive team, but it's just a team of one superstar and the rest.
Exactly.
So if you can take them to the NBA final,
that's
going to be one of the biggest run in NBA history.
In recent history, 100%. Thank you very much, guys. Catch us as we give you a more rundown as time goes on. Have a wonderful day, guys.